I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. The parable that Jesus tells us in this morning's gospel, the parable that Father Milton just read for us, this parable is unique in all of Scripture. It's the only story in the whole Bible that does not have one single admirable character. There is, of course, the dishonest steward, the malevolent manager, who never even bothers trying to deny the charges of corruption against him. But there's more than just him. There's also his boss, who has been playing fast and loose with the Torah by charging really high interest rates on loans to his tenants. And even those tenants, well, they're in kind of a moral gray zone too. Not one of them tries to stop the manager from cooking their books. Not one has the integrity to say, "No, I'll pay everything I owe." No, they scratch out the big number, take the little number, and get out of there before anybody changes their mind. No good Samaritans or faithful shepherds, no diligent housewives or forgiving fathers, just a few kind of shady characters. So what are we to make of all this? If Jesus isn't giving us nice moral role models to emulate, what's he doing? We need to look a little bit deeper into this parable. First of all, when we look, we see that this is a parable with a setting, and the setting is a crisis. A parable of crisis. It's a moment when decisions have to be made. Now think about how you respond to a crisis. Think about how we human beings typically react when the pressure is on. Usually, we fall back on the behavior we know best. Even if that's the very behavior that got us into trouble in the first place. Our thinking gets narrow. We aren't inclined to be creative or innovative. When panic sets in, we hold on to the familiar with all we can and we just try to ride that baby out. A friend of mine once started a business which ran into trouble because he was such a hard worker. It doesn't make sense, but it sort of does. His natural inclination was to work incredibly hard at everything, trying to run every detail from the high-level marketing to cleaning out the bathrooms. So when things started getting kind of dicey, what did my friend do? He kept cleaning the bathrooms, only harder and more often. And you know what? It didn't work. Thankfully, he came to his senses and learned how to delegate. The business is going okay now, but does that sound familiar to you? Often we fall back on what we know best, even when that's not the best response. Hold on to that thought. This is a parable of crisis and how we respond. So what's the crisis? Well, to see that, I'm going to give you just one really good little Bible reading tip that you can take out with you this morning, and you've learned one thing anyway. Here's a Bible reading tip for you. In the Bible, whenever you find stories about landowners and stewards or kings and managers, you can be pretty sure of this. The landowner king represents God, and the manager steward represents Israel. Israel's in crisis. It's Israel, God's chosen people, that stands accused of squandering the fortune that God gave them to take care of. That's right, and it's tragic. God went to all the trouble of liberating Israel from Egypt. God gave them a place to live and thrive. God gave them Torah to live by, not just all for them, but so that they could become a unique people in the world, so that they could grow into people who lived with God at their very center. And by their life, guide the rest of the misguided world back to their true Creator. That was the treasure that God had placed in Israel's hands. But Israel, Jesus says, has lost her nerve. Israel has, over the years, become more and more just like everybody else. More and more like all the other nations. Not with God at their center, but with human ambition at their center. Not with guiding the nations back to their Creator, but with building their own empire. They came to see the blessing that they'd been given as their own possession, rather than a gift to the world. So Jesus is saying in this strange little parable, Israel's in crisis. How do they respond? Well, think of the Pharisees. The Pharisees do the typical thing. More of the same old behavior, only harder. Hold on to holiness harder. Impose more discipline, more rigid rules. Build bigger walls between Israel and everybody else. Hunker down and hang on and try to ride this thing out. And Jesus comes in and steps into that situation. And in this story, he suggests something completely different. And he uses this shady business manager to do it. Think about what that manager does. That manager ends up doing something he probably never, ever expected to be doing. He's speaking on equal terms with tenant farmers, with the folks who rent from his boss. He probably would have thought of those tenant farmers, if he ever thought of them at all, with nothing but utter contempt. They were just poor and powerless dirt farmers and good only as a source of income. But now what's he doing? He's reaching out to them. Out of necessity, of course, but he is reaching out, trying to form relationships with these people that he would have cut himself off from in days before. He's acknowledging their presence, perhaps for the first time. Of course, he's doing it for completely selfish reasons, but at least he's doing it. Jesus calls his people to do the same thing. To reach out rather than hunker down. To reach out to the people they once held in contempt. The outcasts, the sinners, the unrighteous, and even the Gentiles. Not to build thicker walls, but to issue invitations. Not to create an exclusive club for the righteous and the holy, but to build bridges inwards into God's family. To create relationships where none existed before. It's time for some friends in low places. To reach out to the unexpected ones, because if they would remember their history, those are the ones God wanted to call back in the first place. And now this unscrupulous business manager, now he's got something that he can teach us. Because we're called to do what he did. Our ministry is the same. We're called on to reach out rather than hunker down. We're called on to form new relationships out there. Sometimes very, very unexpected relationships, often with very unexpected people. Not to form a little club for holy folks and people who like that kind of thing, but to reach out beyond ourselves. To reach out to the people who are really easy to forget. Reach out to the people who really need the treasure that we have in our care. Reach out to people who need to hear their debts are canceled in God's eyes and their sins are forgiven. People who need to hear that their situation isn't hopeless. People who need to hear their own worth in God's eyes and ours because they haven't heard that very much. To reach out to people who've felt shut out of participation in our community, in our society. Reach out to show them, remind them, there's a place for them. There's a place for them in God's family, with us. And that kind of new relationship, that's what radical hospitality is all about. And we are so good at that, but we've got to keep it up. Being open and welcoming to new, sometimes unexpected relationships. That openness, that's certainly what risk-taking mission and service is all about. Our work at Good Shepherd Corner, our work at Metro Ministries, our work building wheelchair ramps and engaging with kids at Castores Elementary School, all our mission work that takes us out into the community, it's all about doing what that steward did, just for different reasons. It's all about being willing to reach out of our comfort zone to form new relationships. Relationships that can become part of a bridge back into God's family. So that business manager really is a pretty shady character. I don't know if I'd be holding him up as a moral example to our young people. But he does have something to teach us. Don't emulate the manager's wasteful behavior. Don't emulate his dishonesty. Let's emulate his willingness to reach out and create new relationships. To not hunker down, but to open up. To reach out in ways that will take us to unexpected places and in contact with unexpected people, so that all of us together, ourselves, the unexpected friends that we make, all of us, find our places in the homes of God's kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.